Today on Real Radio.
Immediately somebody will say, well, there are certain gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not in operation today. Really? That's quite a big statement. What do you base that on? Oh, that verse right here.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, we've been spending a lot of time in chapter 13, mostly because, you gotta admit, this subject of divine love really has a lot of depth to it and might take a lot of description to really understand it. And verses 8 through 13 shed more light on the principle of what's commonly called progressive revelation. In other words, the Almighty reveals His will for His people piece by piece, and for good reason. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Infinite Love of God.
How do you know eternity's real and there's the infinite love of God? Love is a pretty amazing thing. Because he's right, it can't be killed. You can launch a nuclear bomb in the sanctuary. It doesn't destroy it. A person may die who loves someone else. That doesn't kill it. And a person may die whom you love. And you lament the separation for the rest of your life. Why? Because love cannot be conquered that way. Yes, the gifts are limited, but God's love is eternal. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:18 that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This word grow, listen, this word grow means to be expanding, to be increasing, to be moving outward from God's love, knowledge. Grace, the personage of Christ. The world should be able to look at you and I today as Christians. When we go our way today at the end of this message, the world should notice there's something different about us. And by the way, when they do, don't think they're going to jump into your arms and say, boy, you're a Christian, I love you. They'll probably throw rocks at you because they find out something's different about you. It's very strange. Another thing is this. Yes, our gifts are limited. When he says, prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, knowledge will vanish away. Look at verse 9. What about our efforts? Our efforts are imperfect. The infinite love of God, in contrast to our ministry, watch this, everybody, our efforts are imperfect. Paul is speaking to an imperfect church. He's talking to this church. I say that the Holy Spirit is speaking to this church. And watch what happens. Are we not imperfect people? Can we all say yes? We are all imperfect. We're not perfect. And when I think about this, I can't think about this too hard because I will hurt myself. Why didn't God use angels to preach his gospel? Why did God use 40 different authors over a time period of nearly 2,000 years to pen 66 books that turn out to be flawless, without error, and perfect? For that very reason. To communicate to us his truth coming from imperfect people. That's a miracle. Think about it, that God would use humans to pen his eternal truth. Why didn't he use angels? Because angels were not created in the image of God. And he didn't die on the cross to redeem angels. He's trying to get the message to us. And you and I relate better to one another. Look, we can be wowed by an angel. Angel comes up, flaps his wings. Wow! Right? But when it comes right down to the brass tacks of things, we have to relate to one another. We may argue about this, but the truth is humans relate to humans. There's a fellowship that God has engineered among humanity. And the Bible, in all of its perfection, has been imparted to imperfect people. And that's strange. But why? God's power will be exhibited. We talked about that a moment ago. But look at verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. The greatest sermon that's ever been preached since Jesus ascended back to heaven is imperfect. Only Jesus preached perfect messages. The gift of proclamation or prophecy, putting forth the word of God, if you introduce an imperfect object into the mix, there's opportunity for failure. Look, the greatest sermon, I have preached some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard in my life. The only problem is no one else has heard them, right? It's after third service, it's in my head all the way home. Why did I say that? Oh, I should have said this instead. Oh, wait, let me change this note. Oh, and if I, too late, I've already preached the third service. I have no other chance, it's over. You see, don't you, it's kind of like hindsight, right? It's kind of like as we get older, we say, boy, if I lived life all over again, I'd sure be smart. If I knew, right? If I knew then what I know now, well, after the sermon, I know how to deliver the message perfectly. It's just the now that I'm concerned about. Why? Because I'm imperfect. This is a perfect word of God and an imperfect object. And what is to come out? Listen, I'm convinced of this. People, you know, what books do you read? Can you recommend books to read? Yeah. And I'm learning something in my old age now, though. I'd rather read books by dead guys. You know why? Because dead guys can't change their minds. If you endorse a book, oh, this is a great author, this is a great book, 5 years from now, the guy could be a lunatic. Right? That's why the internet's scary. There's a lot of loonies out there. Be careful. Now, the only book that I'd recommend who the author is alive is this book. He is forever alive. He's always alive. But our efforts are imperfect. We know in part, and we prophesy, or we minister in part, partially, not in fullness, not in totality. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, said Paul. Note this. For it is the power of God to salvation. Notice, it's not Paul. It's the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, notice, it is the power of God. Notice, the power is in the message, church. It is a scary day. Listen, are you listening? It's a scary day when somebody says, oh, come on, let's go listen to that preacher. Or come on, let's go, let's listen to that speaker. Or come on, let's go and watch out. Watch out, because if Paul the Apostle showed up here right now, from what we know from church history, okay, I'm 5'10". He was, according to church history, about 5 feet tall. He was severely bow-legged. He had a few hairs on the back of his head and a big hooked nose. They said his nose looked like a bird's beak. This is church history. We don't know if it's true or not, but that's what's recorded down in those who wrote of him. And the Bible says that his eyes, church history says that his eyes were very close together and he suffered from an eye disease. We know that from the book of Galatians. His eyes oozed a lot and he squinted a lot and he was not attractive. Paul the Apostle. So can you imagine this like bird man coming along? And the Bible says that when he spoke, his speech was not with any skill. It's like, you hear this guy. Now, Paul in the flesh would walk up and speak and you'd go, you'd be sleeping in a second. But the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of him. And you see this little guy walking up at the incredible theater at Caesarea, and Felix, and all those are gathered around. And Paul walks up there, and he begins to speak, and the whole crowd is convicted. What was going on? The power of the Holy Spirit using the gift that God had given Paul, and the glory was all to God and none to Paul. Yes. Don't you want to see ministry like that again? Yes. I believe if God sends us a revival, we will see ministry like that. The third thing about this is then the contrast to our ministry, that is the infinite love of God, is that our offerings are finite to God. In verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So note this, all of this verbiage, in part, perfect, all this stuff, done away, finished. What's he talking about? Now look, you guys, I may step on some toes right now. Please don't get offended and leave. I love you. See, what are you yelling for? Because I love you. I'm excited right now. Don't leave. You got to hear this. Because look, this church is a wild place. Why? There are many Catholics in here, Methodists, Wesleyans. There's Baptists in this church right now. There's Lutherans here right now. There's atheists here right now. We already know that Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses visit us every service on a regular basis. They're coming. They tell us, we're just checking it out. But we've seen some get saved. There's people from all walks right here right now. So listen, I tell you this for a reason. Verse 10 right here, listen carefully. Verse 10 is a verse that has been very, very often abused. And here's the reason why. When the scripture here says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away, immediately somebody will say, well, there are certain gifts of the Holy Spirit that are not in operation today. Really? That's quite a big statement. What do you base that on? Oh, that verse right here. When that which is perfect has come, then this will be done away. And they'll say, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. That's cute. That which is perfect. This is perfect. There's no errors in it. That's cute. But if that's true and not the coming of Christ, which is what it's replying or what it's speaking of, implying, then why has preaching and prophesying the word of God not ceased? If this is complete, then has knowledge ceased? If this is complete, then why not all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit? Why have they not ceased? In other words, do you have the gift of evangelism? Do you have a burden and a passion to go share the faith of Christ with other people? Yes. Well, according to that view, you shouldn't have that because that which is perfect has come. Are you with me? You see, what happens is people with good intentions see an abusive use of a gift. For example, have you ever seen goofball preachers on Christian TV speaking heresy? I have. You don't say now the gift of teaching's over. Well, when that which is perfect has come, there's no more. You don't do that, do you? People will say there's no more tongues today, or the interpretation of tongues, or the gift of apostleship. There's no more of that because we can't explain it, and so we don't like it, and we've seen abuses of it. Look, if I were to ask you how many of you have seen abuses of tongues, I mean, we had it here last Sunday. Somebody went off. And that's wrong use of the gift of tongues. This is not the place for that. A person who does that's doing it out of their emotions, not by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God right now is working through the gift of teaching. Would he interrupt himself? He's working right now. There's a place for that. But listen, people have said, no way, that gift does not exist, because I've seen people freak out and abuse it. I understand, but the abuse doesn't negate the gift. Do you understand this? This is important. You're quiet in here right now. You need to know this. God gave all the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be used in the church. And not only that, they're going to increase, especially if you read your Bible, during the tribulation period. It's going to be poured out. The Spirit of God will be poured on the Jewish people. And those who are converted to Christ during the tribulation period, the scripture says that it will be the ultimate fulfillment of Acts chapter 2. And the outflowing of Joel's prophecy. So we need to be smart about that. I bring that up because when that which is perfect has come is a reference to the coming of the kingdom of God. You won't need these gifts when Christ returns. There'll be no use. Pretty amazing. The Bible's very clear to tell us regarding the finite offerings that you and I can give to God. But listen, though they are beautiful, though they are necessary, as we yield ourselves to God's use, we just need to realize that the glory is of him, and our time is passing. The Bible says in 1 John, now listen carefully, especially young people today, in 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are the children of God. He's speaking to believers. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, that's the coming of Christ, either for the rapture of the church or the second coming of Christ, we shall be with him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, what does that mean? That means if you believe Jesus Christ could return today, you're excited about it. Listen, don't say a word. Do not indict yourself. The Bible teaches Christ could come today, or you could die today. A Christian will meet Jesus in a second. Question, are you ready to meet him? This verse says, if you are living in a sense of expectancy, ready to meet Christ, A, you're going to be busy about your Father's business. B, you are ready to meet him. If you're ready to meet him, that means those things that God is telling you to do or not to do, you're obeying him, right? You're ready to meet him. I mean, look, I kind of have an advantage right now. I'm right now in the middle of God's will right now. If I dropped dead, it would be, wow, that was cool. Now you guys will be going, oh my gosh, he dropped dead in the pulpit. I'd rather die here than in my bedroom. I'd rather die here than in a, you know what I'm saying? You got to die somewhere. Where would you want, where do you want to die? I'd like to die right here. In God's house with all of you guys. You can watch me. You say, Pastor, you should never talk like that's very, what? I'm going to see Jesus. I would see you fading away and I would see him. Wow. Or there could be a trumpet blast. Right? Rapture. We're caught up to meet God. All of you people who don't know God, you're going, what? 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 What was that? What? What? Are you ready to meet him? The Bible says all those who have this hope purify themselves. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're sinless. It means that you're walking with him on the path, that straight and narrow way, Jesus said. He wants you to be doing that. And all the while ministering your gift in the body of Christ and not being a spectator church. You guys, there's just enough people in this section right here to change the world. Right there. It only took 2,000 years ago. God wants to shake the world. And if we would approach him and say, Lord, the glory's all yours. I'm yielded to you. Everything in my life's finite. You are the infinite God. You love me, you saved me, let's go. I think Jesus would roll up his robe, grab you by the hand and say, come on, away we go. What an amazing God we have. The next thing is this, point number two is verse 11 and 12. The infinite love of God in contrast to our entire lives. We have our new beginnings. And the contrast of the infinite love of God in our lives is this, that we have our new beginnings. God's at work. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Every one of us know what he's talking about. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of us don't know what he's talking about right there. It means growing up. Growing up, we have new beginnings in Christ Jesus. His love is infinite, but here's the reality. There's both a sweetness and there's a danger to what he's saying here. Number one, when we're little kids, no one expects much out of us, do they? We're little kids. We talk funny. We have lisp. Or we say words wrong. I still say words wrong. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I can't say that word. But when you're little, you know, words like yellow and lello and blue is boo and all these things. It's kind of, isn't it cute though when it's a little kid? It's very, very cute. And but when they start to grow up, you expect more out of them, right? And it's okay to see a two-year-old saying certain things. But when that two-year-old kind of language is coming out of a 20-year-old, something's terribly wrong. And I wonder how many in Christianity can say, well, Jesus saved me 20 years ago, but you're still talking like a baby. You're still gossiping about people. You have so much time on your hands that you've got time to gossip about people. You have so much time on your hands that you have time to complain. And then there are those who are growing up in Jesus and they ain't got time for that. That's for kids to do. Because we're pressing onward and we're moving onward with our God. And Paul says at the church at Corinth, you're like a bunch of kids who've taken the gifts of God, and instead of using them as tools, you've made them toys. And you're talking about how, oh man, you know what? You should see, I can speak in tongues, and watch this, and this, and, oh, well, I have the gift of healing, watch this. And it was all messed up. Wouldn't that change much? Huh? You turn on TV, Christian TV, and the guy takes off his Armani suit. He swings the suit in the air. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. He's swinging his suit in the air, and as he swings it over the audience, people are falling down and being healed. Of course, you can't prove it. He just says it. And listen, let me tell you, the world looks at that and says, what a bunch of dopes. And I agree with the world. What a bunch of dopes. This is crazy. Remember the Oreo cookie? The love has got to be there. And when that kind of stuff goes on, it only grandizes man. We need to grow up. It's sad that millions of people watch that and go, wow, sign me up. No, we need to start thinking. Paul says, I used to do that stuff, but I grew up. And he uses the word put away, that is to cast off. I put away childish things. Well, you guys, listen, have you ever been to a nursery, not plants, I'm talking babies. Have you noticed, and it's happened in our lives, when you see the babies, you ever go, like, you know, somebody has a baby in your family, and so everybody piles in the car, and they all go, let's go look at the baby. Mom's down the hallway, the dad is with us, we're looking at the baby, or the babies, all the babies are there in the room, all these babies. And which one is it? It's funny, we go like this. Well, which one's yours? We're so weird. Watch. Which one is it? That one. Third one over. No, that one. It's a boy. The blue beanie. That one. Oh, that one. Watch. Oh, that one. Couldn't recognize the kid. And then the next thing out of her mouth, he looks just like his dad. Have you noticed that? It's hilarious. He looks just like his dad. I bet you he's going to be an attorney. This is my granddaughter, Emmeline. Okay, see what she's doing right there? See her hands folded? It's time to eat. Here's what she says. Pay. To me, that sounds like pay. It's pray. But she says pay. And you take a, and you pray, and you pay for the meal, right? You pray for the meal. And before you even get a chance to take a bite, she goes, pray. Okay, yeah, we'll pray. Thank you, God. It's a great meal. Thank you. All right, let's eat now. Pray. All righty then. Thank you. Yes, great meal. And you take two more bites, and she says, pray. About 20 times in the meal, it's pray. What? Cute language, pay. But she's going to grow up from that. She's going to say pray eventually. And I just thought I'd throw that picture in there because she looks just like her grandfather, does she not? I mean, look at that. Just like, and so when we look at the baby, we go, oh, and we impose or transmit or place attributes or things. Oh, look, just like her mother, just like her father. I bet you she's going to go to be an engineer. He's going to be up to a pilot. We don't know that. We're just saying it. But Paul is saying, grow up. Grow up in your Christianity. Put away those things that are silly and distracting and foolishness and press on.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. The infinite love of God, that's the title of the lesson today, taken from this part of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on most Friday editions of Real Radio, we've got a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where Pastor Jack answers questions sent in by you, Real Radio listeners. That is, of course, when we're able to drag him into the studio, which, by the way, we're not able to do today. In the meantime, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, email it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.